Being in the Spirit, we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. If you wanted to, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 5:18. As Paul's writing, he starts in verse 15. He says, look carefully then how you walk or how you live your life. He's not talking about like walking on a trail, but how you are living your life. He says, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, so we want to focus on, as we continue our discussion on being filled with the Spirit, walking the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. Does anyone have a translation that has something slightly different there at the end of verse 18, where it says, "But be filled with the Spirit"? Anybody have something different? Going once, going twice. All right, a couple different versions here. In the King James, it says, be filled with the Spirit, as does the ESV. The Net Bible says, but be filled by the Spirit. Young's Literal Translation says, but be filled in the Spirit. So what difference do you see here in the different translations? All right, the preposition, right? It's either with, by, or in. You know, be filled with the Spirit, by the Spirit, in the Spirit. So is there a difference in that? If you're filled with the Spirit, by the Spirit, or in the Spirit, is there any difference in that? It's kind of like a yes or no question. What? I thought I heard somebody say something. Yes, yes, with her English background. David, you said no? Oh, you're commenting on the cake. I know, I think the cake's more important than the Holy Spirit right now. If you'd like cake, you can raise your hand and Beth's passing it out. But I would say it's really the same. If you're filled with the Spirit, by the Spirit, in the Spirit, the translators are trying to get the same thought process across to us. You know, Paul's whole point is not to allow what to control you. The negative, what are we trying not to control us? Well, specifically in the verse, but yes. The alcohol, he's saying don't let alcohol control you. You know, if you drink enough of it, it's going to take control of you and you're going to start doing things that you wouldn't otherwise do. But so instead of being controlled by this, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to be controlling you and working in you, through you, by you, whatever. So you're utilizing the Holy Spirit then to live. And what did he start with? Look carefully then how you walk, how you live your life. So the whole premise then is we need the Holy Spirit to be guiding us, to be empowering us, to be filling us so that we can walk our daily lives. He says what? As wise, as a wise person, not as an unwise person. So the goal then is as we are living for Christ, as we are allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in us, that we will walk wisely as we ought to. So last week we talked a little bit about how do you know if you are living a Spirit-filled life. We said the Spirit-filled life is not based on emotions. You know, it's not an emotional thing. Rather, it's based on experience. You know, it's you experience life. As you go through life, you have to be relying upon the Holy Spirit. You have to be reaching out to the Holy Spirit daily, throughout the day, multiple times during the day sometimes, to empower you and strengthen you. And then we said it's real life. You know, we face real life issues, and often those are very difficult issues that we face. You know, just You know, I know many of you go through family issues, extended family issues, especially around the holiday times. You know, every holiday season, you know, we have church members that ask, you know, I'm going home to see family, or I'm going to get together with family. And we have family members that are living in lifestyles that we don't agree with. How do we handle that? You know, how can we, you know, stand up for what we believe, but still be gracious and loving? And so there are struggles there. You know, it's not always easy, but we can still rely upon the Holy Spirit. We can still make it through the strength of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit-filled life is marked by purpose, by power, by effectiveness. And you will begin to see that in your life. You'll see that in other people's lives. You can see when someone is filled with the Spirit or is striving to live in the Spirit because, you know, they have a purpose. They, you know, have power over sin. And you will have power over sin, power over temptation. You know, as you're tempted, just to be able to just say no, because the Holy Spirit's living in you. And as you rely on the Holy Spirit for that strength or that purpose, then you will be effective in living your life as Scripture teaches, as we know we ought to. So, you know, and kind of boil it all down, we can't do it on our own. And I think too often we strive or we think there's some merit in thinking I can make it on my own. You know, I can do this on my own. You know, that old adage of, you know, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. But, you know, it's impossible to do that. You've got to humble yourself and realize I can't do this on my own. I have to rely upon someone else and spiritually rely upon Christ, on the Holy Spirit, and then rely upon other brothers and sisters in Christ as well. You know, as David mentioned, you know, he's teaching someone how to install an X-ray machine. Why? Because it's really complicated. You know, it's not one of those you just pull the manual out and look at the pictures and put it together. Okay, you need someone there that's done it before, that has experience to work through that. Okay, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has written the Word of God. He, you know, has worked through all of that. And so he is our teacher, our advocate. He's the one that's going to guide us through life if we will allow him to do that and work with us. All right, it's not something we can do on our own. We see that in the book of Acts. Remember the story in Acts? It says, when Simon saw the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered him money. You know, and he said, hey, you know, let me buy this gift. You know, I want to do that. I want to go around and lay hands on people and have them get the Holy Spirit too. So he said, give me this power also so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And what did the apostles say to him? Anybody remember?
It says right here, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord.
Right. You know, so their response was, you know, Peter's response to him was, you can't buy this. This isn't something that you do on your own. This doesn't come because you're a good person or becomes because, you know, you're really, really dedicated. It's not in and of yourself. This is a gift. The Holy Spirit is given to you and you allow him to work in you. You can't buy that. So, quick question here. Which is most important, knowing, being, or doing? And it's not a trick question, but it is one of those things where all three of them are important, and we need to be doing all of them. But then there's kind of a building blocks. All right, Troy. Okay.
And then doing would be a little bit later in life.
Okay.
As a young person, and then by the time I
Okay. All right.
I would, similar to the offices of priest, king, and prophet.
Okay. All right. Good. Other thoughts?
I say it's being.
Okay.
You can have head knowledge. You can know something. You can do things as well. That's why I say it would be being.
Okay. All righty. Chris?
I think there's, just like with anything in life, there's got to be a balance.
Yep.
You got to have a little of all three and have them in balance. That way, you're doing the things correctly, knowing the right way to do something. And that way, the being part of this, people seeing you living that out.
Okay. Good. Yep, John?
I think doing, because as I'm doing more, I know more.
Right.
And I know that Holy Spirit's in me. But I think in this time of my life, in our history, it's time to get to it. It's time to get out there and tell people about you.
Yeah. Good. Yep. Everett?
I agree with Troy, but my take is a little different. I would say that it's this progression, maybe not of age, but maturity. And everybody at different ages can be at different maturity levels.
And I'm sure that's what you meant. Not necessarily age, but mature age. Yes.
The knowing, of knowing the scriptures, knowing Jesus, and then being like him, and then doing what he would do. So it's kind of all there, but just
they're all very definitely intertwined. Yes. Any other thoughts? Okay. All right. So we kind of talked about that. Which one is key to the others? Or maybe we could expound upon that a little bit more.
I would say knowing. It starts with knowing. I've got to read this book. It doesn't mean I'm good if I don't.
All right. But what would, but if you don't have a desire to know, then you're not going to read. Right.
That's
so
what, that's what happened to Adam and Eve, right? They didn't really know. They didn't do what they're supposed to do, and they chose to eat.
Right. So I don't know. And you had great thoughts, and I appreciate how you look at things. I kind of look at it as we do have to know in order to be. So there's some knowledge there, but I think that if you are who you ought to be as a believer, then you're going to have a desire to know more and to get into God's word and dig out truth. And as you learn that truth, then you're going to have a desire to go out and do it. So kind of, and I know where you're going with that, Troy and Everett, but kind of the concept is, and if you teach school or have taught school, probably the hardest thing to do is teach somebody that doesn't want to learn. If they're just sitting there and they don't want to learn, it's really not fun. it's very, very distressing kind of thing. Very miserable. Why? Because that individual just, they're not motivated to do it. They have nothing inside them that is encouraging them to even listen or to learn or to do. So, I think, and I understand where you guys were going, but I think the key is we have, and especially as a believer, but we have to be the person, be the Christian initially, then the other things come to fruition. Then we will start learning, we'll start doing, and because we realize based on that character that we should have, then, okay, this is what I need to do, this is what I need to work through and follow through with. Paul says in Ephesians 1, if you're still in Ephesians 5, just flip over a page or two. It says in, I'll give you a second. I still hear pages slipping. You know, he says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his counsel, or to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So we are made to be, or to become, to exist to the praise of his glory. And again, I know in a secular environment, maybe it's a little different, you know, as far as the knowledge and then doing and then the maturity there. But as believers, when we trust Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes within us and creates within us a new person, a new desire. And that's that being part that I think Paul is talking about here, that we want to now be to the praise of Christ's glory because of what he's done in us and the change that he's made in us. And the only way that I can be to the praise of his glory most effectively and efficiently is now to get into his word and learn it and then do it. And that's kind of the progression that I want us to see this morning. So God desires for us to live a spirit-filled life, and he expects us to be led by the Spirit on a daily basis. And if we are the followers of Christ that we're meant to be, then we'll gain the knowledge. We will get the knowledge. You know, because if we are who we are supposed to be as a believer, then we're going to determine, I'm going to get what I need to get out of God's word. I'm going to have a study time. I'm going to be a student of God's word, and to help me continue to grow so the Holy Spirit can speak to me. And then I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, because that's just the right thing to do. And that's what it's expected of me. I don't know if it's, now we'll get to it next week. There's another verse that says we are created to what? Do good works. You know, why did Christ save us? You know, in the passage there, you know, we were brought to Christ. We were conformed so that we could do good works. Now, of course, it's not the good works that save us, but because we are saved, then the expectation is you're going to do good works. Well, how do you know what to do? You have to know what it is in order to do them. But it all precedes and builds upon becoming a new creature in Christ. So let's wrap up there. Everett, would you mind closing us in prayer this morning? Amen.